chapter 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time as we study the scriptures. God bless you. God bless us all as we come here this morning. Lord, we've lifted our voices to you. We've worshiped. We've prepared our hearts and our minds. And now we pray, God, that you would fill us with your word, with your truth, that you would encourage us in the days that we are living. As we quickly approach the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, God, there's so many emotions, so many feelings, so many things going in our minds of remembering that awful time. I'm certain that just about every single person in this room can remember exactly where they were the moment that first plane hit the tower. And God, in our memories, we want to pray for all of the families, all of the people that have been impacted by that tragedy. It's a clear reminder to us that this life is short and that we don't know when our last day will be. And so I pray that as we remember all those that fell that day, may we also remember that all of those who leave this world without you will be eternally separate from you from heaven. And so with that reminder, let us get our affairs in order, that today may be the day for us. We don't know, but you do. So draw us closer to you. Teach us and instruct us in your word as we read the scriptures. May they not just be head knowledge, but truly be heart knowledge and life applications. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Romans 12 is such a powerful chapter. And as Paul, we talked last time, as Paul was addressing those first two verses to remind us of who we are. And he's begging you, as we see in the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice. Paul's heart, after the first 11 chapters of teaching doctrine, is now saying, now live this life of Christianity, a life of victory, a life of assurance, a life of protection, a life of getting our eyes off of this world and getting our eyes on God. This morning, I want us to be reminded, and Paul is going to remind us, how each and every one of us who are a child of God has been gifted by the Lord. If you believe in Jesus, if you are saved, and if you believe today, if you left this earth, you would be in the presence of God. Not only are you saved and to be with God, he has gifted you in some way to be in the body of God, in the body of Christ. And I know when I say that, some of us in this room might say, not me. Maybe that person, or maybe my spouse, or maybe my parents, or maybe my child, but not me. No, God's gifted every single one. And it, you know, we like to look at the different gifts and talents in the body of Christ and categorize them, but God does not. Every gift is important. Every talent that has been given to you has been given to you by God and should be used for the glory of God. Amen? So this morning, I want us to be reminded that God has gifted us and that we're going to look at use your gift. As a pastor of a church, I beg you to use your gift. Because when your gift is used, it will edify the body. It will bless the body. It will meet a need in the body of Christ. Not just in the church. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in the people that you encounter. We all know people that are gifted in faith and gifted in prayer and gifted in hospitality. I'm so grateful for the people that are gifted in hospitality. In fact, our cleaning people who come in every week to clean our church are gifted in hospitality. They often bring me cookies and snacks. It is this week. I'm at Costco. Do you want any of those? Yes, please get me some more of those. Gifted in hospitality. We need those people. Well, I don't probably need them, but we need those people in the body of Christ. And as I think about gifts and talents in the church, I think about the people that God has blessed in this church who come in on Sunday mornings to serve, to set up, to prepare. It's such a blessing when the gifts are being used. So I encourage you as we read the text to consider the gift that God has given to you to be used for the edification of the body. When you use the gift God has given to you, there's no greater reward, no greater joy than to know that you're being used by God in some way. And gifts come from God, and gifts are used by God. No one can tell you what your gift is. You know, many people come to you, well, I want to serve in the church. Where do you want me to serve? Where has God gifted you? I don't know. Start somewhere. Start serving the Lord in some way, and the gift will come. I'm reminded of a story of a very famous doctor that when he was in med school, his professor told him, you might make a good general practitioner, but you'll never be a good surgeon. And that doctor just held on to that truth. He believed his professor that he would never become anything. And when he graduated school, he found himself in this distant village just being a general practitioner. And the pastor in that town, his son, a tree had fallen on his son and busted his back. And this physician knew that the only way that this child would experience any kind of life that made sense would be a very intricate surgery. But he also remembered that teacher of his, that professor of his says, you'll never amount to anything. And the pastor begged and he asked this physician, please care for my son. To which that doctor finally said, who am I to be told what gifts and talents I have by someone else? No one else on the planet can tell you what your gifts and talents are except for God. And that physician did the surgery, and the child survived, and the child had a wonderful life. And so we have to be careful how we allow horizontal influences in our life. God's the one that calls the shots. God's the one that does it. And we have to remember what God says and what he enables. It's for his glory. See, it's just as bad to not use your gift or hide your gift as it is to flaunt your gift. Guys, we have to be very careful in the body of Christ that we're not drawing attention to ourselves. I've said it many times because I know my flesh. Had God gifted me with the gift of healing that anybody I touched would become healed, man, there'd be a sign out front, come get healed by Pastor Rob. Therefore, God doesn't give me that gift. Because it's for his glory, right? So your gifts, your talents, used under the context of God's will glorify God and will edify the body of Christ. Listen, I've seen God use the gift of healing in my life very little bit. And it was a beautiful thing to witness. And I'm thankful to God. But at the end of the prayer, I didn't say, well, of course he did that. I'm wonderful. I was just as much shocked that the person got miraculously healed in front of me as they were. Because you don't know when God's going to use you. And the Apostle Paul will see today, the gifts that God gives, he gives when they're needed. Right? So we also have to have this understanding. God's gifted us in certain things, and God can gift you at the moment that gift is needed. So we have to make sure that we are available to be used by God, and our hearts need to be right. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, as you see the title. God has given you a gift. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt that. Look with me in verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, the Apostle Paul, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Of ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I take you back to verse 3. For I say, through the grace that was given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he thought, than he ought. The Apostle Paul experienced the grace of God. Wouldn't you admit? He was an enemy to the church. Thought he was doing God's will by persecuting the Christians. These followers of Jesus. He was religious. He was zealous for God. But he was on the wrong path. But God showed him grace. So when Paul says to us, through the grace given to me, you have to understand the amazing amount of grace that the Apostle Paul received. And that's from that perspective that the Apostle Paul is saying to me, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, because Paul used to think of himself that way. He used to think, man, I'm the smartest dude around. I know the scriptures the most. I'm the most spiritual. I keep the law. And God humbled him, didn't he? Blinded him, knocked him off his horse, said, listen to me, son. You need to serve me because I see your zealousness. I see your strength, but I need to have it under the context of my will in your life. So the first thing we have to understand when it comes to the God has given you a gift, we must keep a humble heart. Keep a humble heart. Never bringing attention to ourselves. Never saying, telling people to, pay you for the gift build up your pride of anything that God has given to you because it's a gift from him. We must stay humble. Anybody know here that God can humble you? Oh, wow, more than I thought. God can do that, right? When our heads get puffy, when we start to think we're something, God can say, let me put you back in your place, son. Because without me, you can do nothing, the Bible says. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's his strength in us. When we're weak, he's strong. Paul said it this way, I am who I am by the grace of God. I am who I am by what God has done for me. So the Apostle Paul said, the grace that I experienced, I'm speaking from that perspective. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I would think the Apostle Paul said, listen, God will knock you off your horse. God will knock you off your high horse. God will knock you off your altar. God will knock you off that place where you're wanting attention. I mean, this morning with the worship team, as they come forward to step in while Blake is gone, our prayer is that, God, let people worship you, not worship anything else. Because our eyes need to be on Jesus, wouldn't you agree? Because if our eyes are on anything else, it's a scary thing to put our trust in anything more than God. Paul knew God showed him amazing grace. But he says in Romans 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Paul was speaking from that position of God's anointing upon his life. Take a moment and think about how much God has shown you grace in your life. Because maybe this morning, you're going through something difficult. Maybe this morning all your needs aren't being met, or you're feeling discontentment, or whatever's going on in your life, you're thinking about it and it's consuming your thoughts. That's what the enemy wants you to focus on. But God says, I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on my grace and the grace that I've given to you in your past. Because the Bible tells us God is the same yesterday, today, and will always be the same. So we must trust in him, that if he's worked things out in our past, he'll work those things out in our future. Just a few verses of, again, the Apostle Paul writing. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Look at, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul served the Lord with everything he had. And he's even boldly says, I served more abundantly than them all. But he knew that it was only because of the grace of God. And when God has gifted you, and you are being used by God, it is a humbling thing. I mean, it's great to come alongside someone. It's great to help people in their lives. But it's another thing to know that it's God enabling you to do that. We have natural abilities to help one another. If someone has a need, hey, you know, you loan them money or you give them some money or you'll pray with them. But when you feel the presence of God prompting you and telling you and showing you, I need you to make this, meet this need, that's powerful. It's powerful and it's very humbling. And then in Ephesians 4:7, Paul says, and this is what I want us to personalize it, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. When God gives, he gives it in abundance, guys. He gives it in abundance. It's not just enough. It's more than enough. That's the kind of God we serve. And notice he says, but to each one of us, all of us have received God's grace. That's a humbling thing and should keep us in that place of humility. He goes on in verse 3, to everyone who is among you, everyone, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What is this? Is this God saying, oh, I only give you some faith or I give you more faith? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm giving you faith in me. I'm giving you an amount of faith to trust in me. See, we may say it as believers, God can do the impossible. God can do anything. Nothing's too hard for God. But when the rubber meets the road, do we really believe? Do we really trust that God can do the impossible? That he can change our circumstances? It's our faith that engages us to do that. Not our feelings. Not our thoughts. Not our emotions. It's our faith that says, God, I'm going to trust you today when everything around me says, don't trust you. It's a measure of faith that he gives. Paul was given a measure of faith. As we read our Bibles, we see people that are moved in their faith, moved by their faith. Guys, we need each other to exercise our faith on a regular basis and be encouraged in that. Because that's what encourages us to continue. That's what keeps us humble because we know it's God. God deals a measure of faith to each one. But he goes on in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Paul looks at the physical body and says, our bodies have many members, many parts, and they're not all the same. They're different. So too as it is in the body of Christ. Every single one of us gifted in a different way. We should never look at someone else's gift and think their gift is more important. Because everyone has their part. Everyone has their place. And I'm so thankful that the scriptures remind all of us that we have an opportunity to be used by God. Because I believe when the body is functioning as it should, everybody exercising their gift, all of us will be edified. All of us will be encouraged. All of us will give glory to God. We can't leave anyone out. We should be the family of God, and we should be unified together. That's what he says. But all the members do not have the same function. We all can't be teachers. We all can't be instructors. We all can't be prophets. We all can't be evangelists. We all have to operate and function in our unique gifts and talents. And let me say this. I believe there's gifts and talents in this church that are not being used because our focus is not on God. Our focus is on something else, or we're distracted, or we believe the lies of, I'm too busy. Anybody in here too busy? No. Oh, good. Excellent. I've got some jobs for you to do. I'm too busy. No, we're all too busy, right? We don't have time. Oh, God help us that we would say, I don't have the time. That we would always be available to be used by God. Notice it says, for as we have many members, but yet one body, we're all to do our share. You know, in church, we have this rule, the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's no different than anywhere we go. It's always the same. And I'll never forget when I began to serve the Lord in ministry, when I began to serve alongside my wife and some friends in couples ministry, man, I just felt so encouraged to be used by God. Don't rob the body of Christ by not being used with your gifts and talents, because there should be all of us doing our part. You know, there was a season in our church when a lot of the staff were doing a lot of the work. It's like, well, if people aren't going to raise up to serve or to help, then we're going to minimize the things that we do. Can only do so much. You know, there's this thing called burnout, right? We get burnt out doing and doing and doing. And when we get burnt out, that's when we lose focus and we begin to have a hard heart. And if we're going to serve the Lord, we got to make sure our hearts stay right. Hearts stay humble. Because it's all for his glory and all for his honor. Another verse, Ephesians 4:16 says, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he lists them out. He describes their uses. And at the end of chapter 12, he says, covet the greatest gift. And the very next chapter is the chapter of love. The chapter that we always read at weddings, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not hold grudges. It's love. And here at the end of this verse, Ephesians 4:16, he shows edifying the body in love. Motivated by love and nothing more. What is motivating by love? Means that you're always looking for the best in someone else. Looking for the best in someone else's life, not for self. It's that humbleness. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to read a few of these verses, and there's a bunch here, but we're only going to read a few. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. Paul's saying the same thing, only expounds upon it so much more. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 says, for as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God, look at this, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. It's God's work. It's God's hand that places the gifts and talents in the body of Christ. And let me be clear. We are a part of the body of Christ. because we're believers. And when he's talking about in the body, he means in his church. What is his church? It's the Christian church, those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pastor Chuck used to always say, I'm not opposed to denominations other than the fact that they divide the body of Christ. And I can't remember the statistic and I don't want to, but there's like hundreds, maybe even thousands of denominations in the world. Divisions, everybody that sees things a little bit differently. Guys, it doesn't matter if you're at Calvary Chapel. It doesn't matter, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a part of the body of Christ. And we must guard ourselves from division in the church. There's another local church here in our area that is going through a terrible time right now. One pastor, another pastor in disagreement. And I believe it's splitting up the church. I told my staff this week, the enemy loves it when there's division in the church. If we stay humble as believers, we'll stay unified. How about we agree? I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. Okay? Can we agree on that? I know you can agree I'm not perfect. But we have to make sure there's no division in the church. We have to make sure that the enemy doesn't try to sneak in and build wedges between couples, between families, between members in the church. We must be unified. It's God who places these gifts and talents in the body for his glory. Let's humbly use them. I'm asking and begging you to use the gift that God has given to you. And even if you say, I'm not really sure if this is my gift, try. At least try. I'd rather you try and fail than to never try at all. Don't hide or don't neglect the gift that's in you that's been given to you by God. Stir it up. I think Peter says, stir up the gift that's in you. Use your gift. It is the greatest thing to be used by God in the ways God has gifted you. It really is. As we go back, we see that we're to use our gift. Let me get back to where I'm at. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, the New King James Bible adds that in italicized, means that the authors added it in. But I think it's perfect. Because if God has gifted you, you need to use the gift. What's the point of being gifted if you're not using the gift? That would be like me. Like if, say you have a neighbor who's having a hard time paying their mortgage. And I come up to you and say, listen, God put it on my heart. Here's $2,500 that God said you need to use this. There's a need in your life or someone you know is like, and I'm going to give this to you now. Use it for the glory of God. And you don't share that with the need. What's the use? You have to use the gift that God has given to you. And if you don't know what your gift is, if you don't know where you fit in the body of Christ, I encourage you, number one, pray and ask God to reveal it to you. But then get around another believer and talk it out. Many times the gifts that God gives to us are natural giftings. Other times they're just spiritual burdens that God puts on our hearts. And if God puts a burden on your heart, he's going to equip you to help meet that burden. I need to work through those things because God wants us to use our gifts. When I think about the servants in our church, I'm so blessed. People like Pastor RJ, like James, like Leslie in children's. It's hard for me to teach while I'm watching your kids. We need people that will rise up and serve the body of Christ, doing their part. And when we all do it, guess what? The body's going to grow. People's lives are going to be transformed. Marriages are going to be strengthened. Everything spiritually is going to increase in our lives. So serve the Lord. We serve one God, one church, one body. And again in verse 6, having then gifts differing, everybody has a different gift, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And he lists them. And this is not an exhaustive list. It's just a general idea. Hey, if you have the gift of prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Now, prophecy today is not telling or foretelling the future. It's revealing the word of God, God's will for our lives. It's a spokesman for God to be encouraging each other with the word of God. Prophecy, speaking truth in your life. When God put it in my heart to come and start a church, I was like, Lord, you're going to have to do this. I don't know about this. I've never done this before. I always wanted to be the behind-the-scenes kind of guy. And I'll never forget that another gentleman in the church that I was in at the time came up to me, and we were talking with another friend. And the other friend was a worship leader, and this other guy looks to the worship leader and says, hey, you don't know. Maybe you're going to go with Rob when he goes and starts a church. I mean, my head almost spun off my shoulders. I'm like, who told you I was going to start a church? He looked at me and he says, nobody. I had no idea. I don't even know why I said that. See, we laugh at that, but it's those little encouragements that God places in our lives. It was a little encouragement, a spokesman to God, that little, I'm with you, Rob. I'm with you. Listen for the voice of God in your kids. Listen to the voice of God in your spouse. Listen for the voice of God in your friends. God will speak to you when we're in his will and when we're in his word. Prophecy, spokesman for God. Prophecy, let him prophesy in proportion to our faith that we believe it's true. We have to understand that speaking God's truth cannot be our truth, hoping God will bless it. Amen? It has to be God's truth. It has to be a move of God's Spirit. All of these things should be active in our lives. Verse 7, of ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Gift of ministry, gift of ministering to other people. He who teaches in teaching. I believe there's people in this room right now that are gifted teachers. You need to be teaching the Word of God. And I know that's scary. But if he's gifted it with you, start. Start to read the Scriptures. Start to prepare messages. Be used by God. There's gifts of teaching in this room. In verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, in other words, be generous, he who leads with diligence. We need leaders that don't give up. We need leaders that don't compromise. We need leaders that stay in the faith. I am so tired of hearing about pastors that have been sexually immoral or stealing from the church. It's like, just get out of the ministry. Anyways, teachers in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. When you don't give somebody what they deserve, you better do it with the right heart. Right? Don't do it begrudgingly. Listen, God wants you to fulfill your purpose. God has gifted you. He's given you a gift, and he wants you to fulfill. He wants you to use that gift. I encourage you, begin to use the gift that's in you. And maybe it's something that you've known has been there for many years, but you just don't know how to use it. Get down, find someone in your life that you can pray with and see where God wants you to use it. I think if you have the gift of teaching, start teaching your kids or start teaching your neighbors. Start a Bible study. We get that question all the time at our church. Are there any Bible studies that are going on during the week? There should be Bible studies going on during the week. So people are getting in the Word of God. Do you not know that it's the Word of God that equips you for your life? That guides your path and directs your steps? Yes, we need to be in the Word of God. So let me ask you, what's your gift? What is it? Are you using it? And where does God want you to use it? As we enter into this time of communion, this is a great time to remember the things that Jesus has done for us. To know that he willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. Because he knew the value of your life. He knew the value of your salvation was going to be fruit for the world. So he didn't just save you to get you to heaven, although that's part of it. He saved you so that you'll be a unique and active part in the body of Christ. I think about if every single one of us in this room was operating in our gifts, the enemy would be shaking in his boots. Because we would all be so strong and we would be all so confident. We'd be seeing the move of God. You know, people talk about revival. You know where revival starts? In our hearts. Reviving my faith in the Lord. Reviving my passion for God. And don't allow the enemy to steal our joy. And walk in the victory that we already have, guys. We are more than conquerors. We've already won. It's done. Let's see God use us. And if you're scared, good. We have to stay humble because it's all about the Lord. But don't be so scared that it keeps you from walking in that place that God has for you. God has gifted you. That's not a question. What is your gift? And now use it. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. How grateful we are that this text speaks into our hearts, Lord. Reminds us that our lives have value. That there is a purpose that you saved each and every one of us. And as we think about the power of God, as we think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, it's a humbling thing to be used by the Creator. But it's a powerful thing to know that we've been used by you to further your kingdom, to help draw people into the body of Christ. There's a lost world out there that's hurting, that's suffering, that's struggling. We live in some really crazy times. But Lord, we can be encouraged in these times because we are your kids and you take care of your kids. I pray for each and everyone here this morning that, Lord, your word has spoken into their hearts and stirred up the gifts within them. I do believe there are people in this room that have used their gifts in the past but haven't had the opportunity recently. God, stir it up in them. Begin to use that gift again. And I do believe there are some who've never been used by you, Lord. Maybe because they've been busy, or maybe they haven't considered the fact that you want to use them. Pray that you would reveal that gift and that they would begin to exercise that gift. And lastly, I pray, if there's anyone here that's uncertain, that has questions, God, may they come to me or another pastor or another believer and start the conversation to search for your will in their lives. We know you want to do it. So give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. As we enter into this time of communion, God, we remember what you've done by sending your Son Jesus willingly for us. So hear our prayers. May this time be of us being drawing closer to you. All of us, no matter how far we may have come, may you draw us closer to you during this time. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.